This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew.
Okay, look, I have a thing against the term erectile dysfunction, and you know this about me, Jenny.
I know this about you because that was my band's name and you got mad about that.
Yeah, and I don't like to call it erectile dysfunction. I like to think that as I've gotten older, my erections are more discriminating. They don't just, yeah. I don't give it up for just anything. And, yeah. You know, you occasionally you need that boost. People, let's face it.
Everyone needs a little something. Yeah.
Sometimes you need a little something. So the great, I'm going to be 57 on Wednesday. And the greatest part of that is, you know, when you were feeling a little nerfy in the shorts, when you were like in your 30s, it was really embarrassing because you should just be like all there. And it happens to everybody even then. But now when it happens, it's like, hey, you know, I'm 57. You're lucky to get one.
Yeah. So I mean, when you hug my mom, that happened.
Well, obviously, I'm not like made of steel, you know, but not everybody has your mom around. And that's why you need Blue Chew. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis.
And you could take them anytime, by the way, Danny.
Well, you know, here's something that they wanted me to say, and I'm going to say it because they were really strict about it. It says Blue Chew is made in the USA. It's prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor or wait in line. It's even cheaper than a pharmacy, and they prepare and ship it right to you in a discreet package. No awkwardness, and you don't need to leave the house. And I'd just like to add, you also don't need to buy a bunch of stuff at the pharmacy that you don't really need because you don't want to just go there for boner pills.
Exactly. You don't have to buy garbage bags and moisturizer.
Yeah, a toilet brush, the latest issue of Us. No.
As seen on TV products.
So visit BlueChew.com now and get your first shipment free when you use our special code, Danny. See that, Dad? I made it. My name is a promo code for Boner Meds.
That's one day, I have a dream now.
Yeah, and you'll just pay $5 in shipping. You go to BlueChew.com, promo code Danny, and that's it. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Danny. Try it for free. I know I am.
It's the cheaper choice, too. Sponsor the podcast.
And they sponsor the podcast. And I'm alone right now. But the most humiliating thing is when I can't even perform when I'm alone. And this has saved me a lot of embarrassment and tears to myself in the mirror. So BlueChew.com, promo code Danny.
D-O-I in apostrophe, I-T-W-I-T, H-D-A-N-N-Y, and J-E-N-N-Y.
Want me to sing it?
Yeah.
You know it.
Oh, get it. I am apostrophe. I-T-W-I-T-H-E-N-N-Y. D-J-E-N-N-Y.
Wow.
Really?
Hold on.
I'm not interrupting anything.
Oh, no, I just want
to. Let me really commit to that. I'm so sorry.
No. I mean,
I think you misread our reaction that we wanted more of it, yeah. Jerry. It's a common misunderstanding. I think it's one of the vicissitudes of Zoom. You know, some of the subtleties get lost. But
gotta go look at vicissitudes now.
Yeah, sorry. It's a $10 word right there. But first of all, we have to thank Eli Braden for that theme, and it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Eli Braden!
Happy birthday, Eli Braden!
Happy birthday, Eli!
Jerry, are you you're familiar with Eli, aren't you?
Of course, very familiar. I'm a huge fan from I believe Stern Show.
Robin's Titty songs.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah,
honor. It's an honor to be on a show that he is musically attached to. I mean, he's basically like Hans Zimmer is to the Crown as Eli Braden is to your podcast.
By the way, if you're very quiet right now, you can hear.
Oh, just to let everybody know. Oh, wait, sorry, Danny.
From this, he's actually orgasmed.
Oh, he's
from the compliment. He doesn't know he's even getting right.
Listen, if you are hearing Danny break up a little bit, I should say
I just San Francisco. Oh, now I froze.
That is Danny breaking up, and not me, right?
No, it's not. It's not you. I don't think it was. I mean, I'm always inclined to blame Danny for everything, so there's no way it could be you, Gary.
It couldn't be you, Jenny.
Hold on a second. Hey guys, are you on the TikTok? Because I'm doing an important podcast. I'm telling you, don't do it to me now. Don't do it.
Let him have it. Unleash that shit. I want it.
You didn't hear any of that, right? Just you can edit that part out.
No,
you're good.
We will. Yep.
I like it. For the TikTok. Stop it.
Great. It has that Alec Baldwin energy that we've been looking for in the podcast.
Yes. Hello. You want the Alec Baldwin energy?
Is the missus? How you is say, your missus home?
How you say?
How you say cucumber?
How you say Benny's internet is bad because he's driving?
Oh, that's a big swing. Well, before we go any further, we should introduce our guest, Jenny. I'm breaking up, so you should know it.
I'll go ahead and introduce our guest. You have seen him literally everywhere. He's one of everywhere. We just watched Teen Wolf together via.
Yes, we did.
We did. People know you from programs like you're in Stand By Me, I believe.
I was in Stand By Me. I was the husky child in Stand By Me.
Husky? Yeah. Yes. Yes, I was going to say voluptuous child, but husky.
Voluptuous. I don't know if I feel too good about the voluptuous.
I feel really bad about voluptuous child, Jenny. I got to just say.
I will let my group know. I have a group.
I was a husky kid. Okay. Stand By Me. It's Jerry O'Connell.
Say
this is all happening because Jenny and I did a Teen Wolf watch party, mm-hmm. Where there was about 20 of us on a group text, and it was really fun.
It was,
and Jenny said, listen, Danny and I had Keith Morrison booked for a two-parter, but he only did one episode. Do you have tomorrow night free for this? And so I jumped over. But I do have to say, Jenny, watching that show, there is a husky character in Teen Wolf that I forgot about that is sort of his friend on the basketball team. And everyone was sort of making fun of the fat guy in that movie. And you know what? I wasn't cool with that.
Husky kid, by the way, in Teen Wolf, as I'm watching it, I'm like, that's Francis from Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Correct.
Oh my God.
The guy who played Not For Sale, Francis, fully husky, voluptuous gentleman in Teen Wolf.
But now, Jerry, I need to ask you about this because I would think, you were a big, disgusting child. I'm kidding. You were a. But you must sort of, I don't mean that at all. You were adorable, obviously.
I know. It's hilarious.
But I will say this, like, as a person who myself, you don't have to know, my weight goes up and down. I think, like, you must serve as an inspiration to a lot of kids who maybe start off life a little bit doughy, you know, come into the world with like a solid B cup as a boy. And now I look at you, Jerry, and I think, like, I'm not gay, but I'm aroused every time I think about you.
And by the way, Jerry, before I'm just going to say, Danny begins a lot of sentences with, I'm not gay, but.
Right, right.
Yeah.
He's, he's got to throw that in there. I totally understand it. You know what? It's so funny. I wish I had a, I wish I had like a plan. Like, I wish I had like a, this is going to date me, but like a Susan Powder, like regime that I did. Like, I just went straight to keto and that's it. I just, you know what? I did Stand By Me. I was, when we shot the film, I was 11. And, you know, the other kids I worked with who were pretty established young actors at the time were about 14 and 15. So they had sort of been through puberty, you know?
Right.
And I had not. So then literally the year after we shot it and it came out, I grew, I'd say about 8 inches.
Oh my God.
It was just puberty, you know? So I think I was a husky kid who had not grown. Now, I did drink about, this was in the mid 80s. I drank, I'd say about 5 to 6 liters of cola a day.
Yeah.
But that's what's good for children in the 80s. Yeah.
I averaged about 6 to 8 sticks of Twix a day as well. Twix was my jam.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my, I like them. It's got that cookie crunch.
And I will say, I, you know, actually, maybe I did sort of, there was a conscious effort. My, my wife, oh shit, my mom. Oh God.
We'll dig into that in a minute, Jerry, but go on.
I got to go back. That's going to cost me about $500 bucks in therapy now.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you want to lay down on the couch now outside and we can just...
I got to go back a couple therapy.
We can work through it right now.
Oh, shit. No, my mom worked out at a fitness club and she worked out with a trainer and she got the trainer to work out with me. This is when I was about 11 or 12 and I was overweight as a child. And
Mom like sell that to you in a way of like, how does she tell you you're going to be working out? Because there, you have to do that subtly with the kid. You can't just say, hey, you're like Danny said, mother, you're disgusting. Let's get you in front of this person.
My mother is from a small country called Jersey City. And
Danny just popped a bone.
I think she was like, you got to go to my gym. You're just eating too much. It's just getting crazy. And you're not, I'm worried about you. And so I went to her gym and it was like a gymnasium, you know, like a, I mean, you know, this is the 80s. So I don't think we had like Crunch and like 24 Hour Fitness on every corner. So it was.
To be eating steak and eggs, boy, for breakfast.
But you know what? But this actually really, you know, this actually has a lot to do with how I sort of, I don't want to say got shape, but like, thought was more conscious of how I ate. Really, I met with a trainer and the first thing he said to me was, he gave me a little notebook. I remember it was like a little like composition notebook, you know, with like it's not camouflage but like that school, like
the black and white stuff.
Composition academic camouflage.
Yeah.
And he said, I want you to write down everything you put in your mouth. And I mean everything. I mean, like, if you have a sip of soda, you got to put it in. If you have a candy bar, you got to put it in. If you have a piece of bread, you got to put it in. Everything. For 1 week, you're going to write it all down. And I did. And I went to go see him a week later. And I got to tell you, he was like, okay, let's just go through this. And we read it. And when I read it back, I was horrified. And he was like, do you see what's happening here? And I was like, yeah. And he really taught me how to eat and everything. Oh God. He was such a nice guy. His name was Charles Brown. God rest his soul. He passed away. He's, you know, this is in New York in the 80s. Sadly, he died of AIDS in the early 90s. So sad. I'm sorry to bring everybody down. I know doing it as a comedy podcast, but holy shit, but God rest his soul. But he really helped me out. Really did. Charles Brown.
Charles Brown, Charlie Brown, and you use the tools that he taught
no,
you.
No, no, we.
Sorry, Denny.
Sorry. No, no, that was Jenny. That was Jenny. So you use the tools he taught you to this day. I was just, the question I was going to ask, though, is, like, it's really hard. Like, no kid likes the way they look at 11, you know, or as a little kid. And I've been sensitive to this just being on TV shows with kid actors all the time. And I can't imagine what that must be like when, if you're not feeling great about how you look, and then you're like on a big screen. Because even like, I don't care who you are, very few kids are going to look and go like, yeah, I look great there. So
yeah, I don't know. Many adults don't feel that great about how they look.
That's true.
Well, want to know what's funny is, I mean, I don't have to tell you guys, but on Twitter, I was in a TV show after Stand By Me. I just graduated college, and I did a TV show called Sliders, sci-fi show. It was on
Fox. I remember it.
I remember. I watched
it. It was great. Yes.
So they had a Sliders pilot rewatch party in the summer, whatever, last year.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
So, you know, I got the pilot, and everyone was like, okay, at 7 p.m., we're going to hit play. And we did it, and I watched it. And I have to tell you, I was mortified at how bad my acting was at the age of 21. Just, you know, I was playing, hold on to something. I was playing a physicist in that show, a physicist. And look, you got to remember, this was like 95, like I'm 21, you know, you're still
I
like
remember
very,
that show. Well,
yeah, I do too.
But I have to say, looking back, I would have played the physicist so differently than how I played it. Like, I just was wearing like a Gap like shirt, and like I, for some reason, I put my collar up in one scene, and I was like, "What am I doing? Why a physicist would never, like, if you think of like Stephen Hawking, would he ever like?" Clench his cheekbones when
well,
he was
wait,
like.
Shouldn't say that about Stephen Hawking.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to come up with the physics.
Did he ever like, play beach volleyball? No.
I don't know. Well, I guess Elon Musk is a bad, you know, like a nerd, like somebody from the like.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I just would have like attacked it more like Timothy Chalamet. You know, I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah. I just like. It was almost like I was like a character from like Saved by the Bell playing a physicist. I was high. I was very embarrassed about my acting.
Well, you had to be like the attractive physicist. You had to
I guess,
be. The
I mean, I don't know.
That's part was, of it.
But getting back to like being embarrassed, I was more embarrassed. Man, when I rewatched Stand By Me, that movie is so effing good. It's just
it's
almost
the greatest.
Like a. And I gotta say, it's all Rob Reiner. He really. You know, let me tell you, you know, you guys all are very established people in showbiz. I'll tell you the big difference with that movie and other movies and TV today. Before that movie started, I don't know if they do it anymore. Before that movie started, for 2 weeks, he locked the four of us in a hotel. I mean, he didn't lock us in. That makes it sound like it was like forced labor. We all went to a hotel in Oregon where we shot it. And before we shot anything, we rehearsed for 2 weeks, just rehearsed scenes, went to the locations where we were shooting in the middle of the bush. And he would block out scenes with us and see where they went. And by the time we got to shooting on day one, there was no like holding of the script and saying like, oh, I don't know if I would play it this way, or I might make a cross over here. Or why is this written so angry for me? Can we sit down and talk? It was, it, that had all been worked out. And
it's so good.
I just think in today's world, and it's no one's fault because I think people are heavily scheduled and maybe people can't afford the time to rehearse anymore. You know, I don't
well,
know.
You know. I'll tell you, I there's a theory about this and I think it's accurate, is Rob came from TV. And when you're doing TV and especially multicamera, he came up, you rehearse all week to shoot on Friday. And, you know, you just sort of see that. And the guys who came from TV, like, and even like, it's a different thing, but like Judd Apatow, you know, he runs a writer's room on his movies. It's not like he gathers all of his funniest friends and we punch it up like you would do after a table read. And mm-hmm. like, so that TV process, I think if you can bring that into movies, it always helps it. It just always does. So, I definitely think that's a big thing.
Let me ask this. So like for you, Jerry, was that your very first movie?
Very first. Yeah. I was an extra in a commercial.
Okay. So your very first movie, you had that experience of like being that prepared. You know,
why do you think I'm so depressed? Why do you think I'm so, I mean, you just heard me. Why do you think I'm so spiteful with my children and everything? It's over.
Yeah. Well,
because you have children. I mean, by the way, one thing you and Danny have in common, you both have twin fraternal daughters.
Oh, fuck.
Oh God. Look at us.
Both of you do. And so like, I don't have kids. I have a wonderful dog. My heart goes out to both of you.
Birdie.
Like,
shout out to Birdie. Birdie up in heaven.
Birdie.
Gotta get up
rest
to birds.
In power. Yeah, rest in power.
It's only too bad that you weren't like when we were doing this all at my house and Birdie would come in and clear the room with her old lady farts.
They're horrible.
She ran astronaut Scott Kelly, the hero, year in space, ran him completely out of the house, gagging.
He had to leave. He'd been through NASA training, but couldn't take that dog's farts.
No, he was in a space station with all astronauts, and there's no vacuum, there's no air conditioning, like living in farts.
Came plummeting back to Earth 20,000 miles per hour in a hail of fire and everything. But my dog, Birdie, my Basset,
freaked him out.
She got him. Yeah.
Wow.
And by the way, actually, when she passed away, sent me the nicest like sympathy card that said, in very astronaut terms, was what a wonderful dog. I'm so glad I got to meet her despite her off gassing.
That's like amazing.
What a lovely way to describe her rank farts, but off gassing. Yes.
Oh, so man.
That's much more so, polite. So amazing. Now, I like talking to people because I don't talk to the ones who haven't made it this far, but like kid actors who've gone on to have careers and have gone on. What do you think, like for you, like what was the secret? What was the secret to staying grounded through all of that? I've watched I've watched it fuck up so many people over my 30 years doing this. And it's like, so I know it takes a special kind of fortitude. I was just curious for you, what do you attribute it to?
It's a little bit.
I was going to ask what went wrong, and you're asking.
It's a little bit in the news right now because, so sadly, Screech passed away.
Yes.
Justin Diamond passed away last week, and really, sort of, passed away tragically. I mean, it sounds like he had a medical condition that he didn't take care of. You know.
Yeah.
I was listening to Stern, and he was talking about Dustin Diamond being a guest and a great guest on a show and everything, and he had problems, it sounds like, with his parents. It's so funny. I have a joke, and it's kind of like it's going to be a sick joke, but I might as well tell it. Whenever I work with kids on a show, on a set, and I always go up and meet their parents and say, hi, how are you? You know, just to let the parents, because you know as much as anyone, Mr. Z, that parents are as much of a part of it as the kids are. You know, they're there and everything.
For sure.
And I kind of know that too as a kid actor, you know, as a former kid actor. And I always say as a joke, I always go, hey, don't let them steal your money. And I say it, but I also like say it, I think, because I want to put them in check a little bit, you know, like,
And
everyone goes like, ha, and everyone sort of laughs sometimes a little too nervously and loudly, but I say it as a pointed sort of joke.
Yeah.
That said, to answer your question, it was my parents. My parents made me go to college, you know, like even when Stand By Me came out, and they were, you have to understand, when I made Stand By Me, it was a small independent movie. We were shocked that I got it. Mm-hmm. We were shocked that I made it. My father, very funny guy, British advertising guy, mid-level advertising guy in New York. I came home from the summer in Oregon and I said, oh, Dad, it was so cool. They had a crane shot and they let us ride the crane. And then for the dead body in the scene, they had a dummy, but it didn't look real. So they used a real guy and they put a beetle in his mouth and the beetle bit his mouth. And I was telling my father all these stories because my father was with me My parents had to work, and my grandparents came with me. And my father, who's British, very dry, very funny, said, and my father, who worked in advertising, had a guy who was a copywriter that he worked with, who had gone to LA and tried to make a movie, and then had to quit his job. I think he was like a VP, quit his job, went to make the movie. The movie didn't come out, and he had to move back and like start off as a copywriter again. So my father was like, showbiz isn't real, you know? And so my father said to me, this is right when we finished Stand By Me. He went, you're about to start school again. Now, when you go to school, don't tell everyone these stories and that you're in a film and starring in a film, because I have some terrible news for you. This movie will never be released.
That's
never see the light of day. No one, these stories you're telling me now so excitedly, and I see it in your eyes. I see the fire in your eyes. No one will know what you're ever talking about. These are memories that you have that no one else knows. And if you are to make it in this life, you must expect nothing. Absolutely nothing. You must enjoy the process. You must have a good time, have a good attitude during the process, and then know when it's over. No one will ever see it. Ever.
And then went on to Hogwarts after that.
He told me that, and I was a little devastated. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And
he actually in a weird way prepared you for the potential for things to not work out, and then also the excitement for when they do.
Sorry, Danny, what are you saying?
No, I think I love this guy. I feel exactly the same way. I mean, honestly, I'm pitching a show right now, and I felt myself and the guy I'm writing with it, Zachary, and we were getting really excited, and I felt the need to sort of tell him, and it's a guy with a lot of experience, by the way, and I felt the need to say to him, it's like, it's great that that it's going this well right now. It's probably not going to happen. Just know that. And I felt like a dick. So I love your dad, because I God help me, I have my hopes up for one of these projects. And it's like, I wish I could just, I want to talk to your dad right now about it. It's like, that's how I feel right now.
No, you know, I have to tell you, it really has prepared me, you know, not only for life, but most importantly, for the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
If anyone is listening to this, like, and I sound like I'm laughing and having a good time and everything, if I could tell you the amount of public failures I've had, it's really disheartening. Oh my God, a buddy of mine from college posted something. There's a podcast called, I think it's called Dead in the Eyes or Dead Eyes.
Uh-huh.
Something like that. And it's about failures at work. And how you should expect nothing at work.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this isn't very motivational, and I should be talking about like funny things about the Britney documentary with you guys. Right. But like, I'm sorry to get all depressed. But really, I even tell my kids who are like 12. I'm like, girls, expect. Let me tell you the O'Connell way.
Yeah.
We expect not only nothing. We expect things to go really badly. If it doesn't work out that way, that's a victory. That's a huge victory for us.
I would add to this, and I'd point out that our producer Guy had a podcast for a long time that I quite liked called Failing.
Yeah,
Up.
Sure.
But it's, and it, but it's it was the guy. It was it's yeah, it's the guy. And but it's like, what's interesting about those stories, though, is like, because I had the same thing. I mean, I've fallen to my knees with disappointment and tears, but it's like surviving that shit. Like, I don't know that I don't know that I would take a lot of it back.
Well, no, and actually, you know what? I'll tell you, watching, you know, when The Last Dance came out, you know, the Michael Jordan docuseries and everything, and I'm huge diehard, you know, fan and everything. And he, one of his best quotes that I always think about is that I failed and failed and failed and failed, and that's why I'm successful. Which it's like, that's true. Nobody, you don't ever, you know, benefit from success. It's like, that's great. But all those failures is what leaded to your success. And I, the Johnson household, let me tell y'all, it was like, oh, you're going to move out to LA. Well, good fucking luck. You know, that's not going to work. But I'm like, well, when I told you I was going to be a sports producer, same thing, but I did it. And then I was a news producer and then I did this, but it was always like prepping me for the, I talked to my mom, I'll do stand up. And she's like, did they all tell you, you didn't do good? Like, well, I sold out a show. Okay, well, good. This time, you know, you're like, great. But as much as, and I sometimes I'll have friends that are horrified to hear that. However, it's not a bad thing. I wouldn't trade it. I appreciate the preparing me for the potential for failure versus you're going to be great. Everything's going to work out, you know, perfect. It's not. Like,
It's actually a good, if you're gentle, it's a good lesson to teach your kids. And do your daughters have given their pedigree with mom and dad, do they have show business aspirations?
This is where you're going to call Child Protective Services. I have I have two daughters, much like you, Mr. Z. Two daughters, twins. Yes. One has it. One has got it. She's like, I got to tell you, they've been in a couple school plays back when there used to be school and plays.
Yeah.
And she's got it. My other daughter, I love them both. I love them both equally. I really do. I swear.
Of course. I believe it.
I have another daughter who just doesn't. She doesn't have it.
She's dropping the ball left and right constantly.
It's just honestly, like, no one would love that Disney Channel money more than me. It's just not coming. Listen, she's hilarious. She's a lot of fun. A little bit moody. Sometimes cries spontaneously for no apparent reason. Whatever. But like, I have one daughter who, like, when she is like, wants to go in and play. They were in Into the Woods. I guess the witch character. You know, remember that? Like, she has that. It was like solos in it. And she like picked up the script and she was like, I was like, hey, you have your audition tomorrow. Let's just go over it and everything. And she like put on a witch voice and did it all. And I was like, this chick is
she has it.
Yeah.
And then of course my other daughter is like, hey, I want to practice with you. And she just comes out and reads her lines. And I'm like, you're fired. You're never getting this. I'm kidding. No, it's just, you know, but I do have to say, like, in terms of parenting, and I am really not a great parent, as you can tell from this podcast, and me yelling my kids aren't on TikTok.
You're making Danny feel better.
I feel so much better. I'm going to play this for my daughters and my son and say, like, look how bad it could have been.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, like, kids are, like, they're wired how they're wired. Like, you can you can maybe drive them to practice a couple times, or you can take them to theater rehearsals, but really they're going to find the path that they want.
They come out of the package. Like, we all come out of the package who we are. And then our parents teach us right from wrong. But like, I've been the same silly, goofy person. My sister was born a 40-year-old. Like, she has always been like that. She's the hand, like, 9-year-old babysitting career. You know, she was that person. I was the opposite of that. And it was just our parents to go like, okay, well, that's who she is. That's Amy. And that's Jenny. And we'll just, you know, act accordingly with them instead of forcing us to try to be, you know, one way or the other. But
And Jerry, I'm sure you realize it comes into stark relief, I think, with twins, I found, especially fraternal twins, is because, you know, like, you're subjecting them to the same inputs socially. Like, and like, you, so this great social experiment of nature and nurture, it's like, my daughters can't, like, I have one daughter I mean, honestly, they're now 22, but like one's straight, one's gay. One was like, you know, and the gay one wasn't the good athlete. It was the straight one. And like, the gay one has all of my athletic skills. And it's just like, and then the other one is just like, it's like this gymnast. How do you freaking do that shit? And it's like, that had nothing to do with me. You came out this way. All I can do is make you a slightly better person, and with the huge potential of making you far worse people. So yeah. If I can avoid that, I feel like that's success.
That's really funny. Really funny.
I feel you, man. I totally feel you. What and I just a shout out to your wife, who I met years before you on Just Shoot Me.
Rebecca Romaine, sure.
Yes.
Rebecca Romaine.
Hi, Rebecca.
Rebecca was so goddamn funny on Just Shoot Me. She was so good. And by the way, that was a show because it took place in a fashion magazine. And I'm not going to trash people, but we, you know, we would occasionally have the model type come through. And and some of the model types were not the great thespians you might have hoped for, or were not really that aware of where the joke was. So she was truly, she was that, you know, they say God doesn't give with both hands, but he gave with both hands with her on that show. Right. We were all very appreciative of what she did.
Well,
on that show.
A couple of things. You don't live with her, Mr. Z.
Yes, I really don't. That's true. Stop bragging.
We're actually, I'm sorry to say this, we're not together anymore. I'm joking. I'm joking.
Oh, my God.
Hey, guy, let's just cut that. The way before he says, send it to the internet.
These are jokes. My wife is right in there, not going on the internet, so I have enough.
There's no way. She's hogtied. She's in fucking
Toronto.
I'm so
sorry, guys.
She's not getting out.
Trying to save money in between TV shows. I got the smaller bandwidth package. I apologize.
Yeah, I. By the way, I don't see any house, and it's fine if it's the case. Just be honest. Are you homeless, Jerry?
No, I'm out. I find I get best reception closer to the roof of my house. So I'm up in front of
near the bridge.
I'm up. This is like a park in back of us.
And it is below freezing, right?
In front of you.
My wife is currently, we're currently in Toronto. My wife is working on the new Star Trek show.
Nice.
We all came up because my kids don't have school and I'm not working. Yeah. So we thought we'd come up and join her. And good. I only brought, we came from Los Angeles. So I only had like a vest. I didn't have a real like winter jacket.
I was that way, even just going to San Francisco.
Internet. And yeah. Oh, yeah. How was your road trip, Mr. Z? You went up north?
Yeah, I turned in a couple of scripts.
I listened to the podcast. You went on a road trip.
Yeah, I love you, man. I feel like, I swear to God, if you're in Toronto right now and I wasn't in a country that banned people, I would come up and visit you and hug you. I hiked around Big Sur. And I mean, look, I can't be the first person to tell you this. Big Sur, fucking beautiful.
Gorgeous, isn't it?
I hiked for miles today. I was in I hiked around the Muir Woods with a former podcast guest, Carrie Byron, from Mythbusters, and she took me on a tour through the Redwoods, and I got my head right. Now I'm just driving back. But do you have any irons in the fire? Anything you want to tease us with, Mr. O'Connell?
I'm so sorry, guys. I got nothing going on. You can.
I love it.
You can follow me on Yelp. I've been writing a lot of Yelp reviews.
I'm looking forward to our next movie night, Jerry.
I'm watching The Crown. I had never watched it before. I'm really ashamed about that. Oh, I know you guys like to hear what, like on your show, you like to talk about what you're watching.
Yes, by the way, I still haven't watched The Crown.
You guys should honestly.
Me either. Like, but that, yeah, you segue.
I would love to insert a joke here about The Crown, but it's the acting is really, you know what? We all work in television. Some of us work in award-winning television. Some of us work in shows that immediately get canceled. But
most of my career, by the way, I got lucky. But, go on.
Yeah.
There was a scene in The Crown. Oh man, I forget what it was. It was something with Claire Foy. Fuck, I don't know. There was a scene in The Crown, and something happened, and they had Claire Foy and another character staring at each other for, I timed it because I rewind it, for 1 minute. So there was no dialogue. It was just them staring at each other for a minute. Now, normally you would make fun of something like that. If you left a minute beat in a show, it'd be like, are you crazy? Like, are you killing time? And I want to say, watching it, it was one of the more chilling experiences I've had watching anything. And I paused it and said to my wife, can you believe these MFers like leave a minute of silence? And like, how do you script that? Do you script like they look at each other for 60 seconds? I'm really blown away by that show. You should really check it out. It's really,
I'm going to,
because you said really, so finally I will.
Also, I do this thing where I Google watch it. So, you know, something happens where they won't let, where Prince Charles dated Camilla, and then Camilla's ex dated Charles's sister. And you're like, there's no way this fucking happened. And then you Google, did Charles's sister date Camilla's brother? And it happened. Like, you Google watch this thing, you pause it. I mean, it would be like pausing it and being like, did Walter White really kill 7 people simultaneously in Albuquerque? And it would be like, yes, Walter White, this is based on true events. He killed 7 people simultaneously. I mean, I Google watch. I'm sorry to talk. I know it's an 8-year-old show. I know you like to be.
We haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
But I am going to be a little hip with programming. I did watch the Britney documentary, which I think
I watched it last night.
Oh, yes. What are your thoughts, Jenny? Let's hear it.
I want to know your thoughts too. It was disturbing, and it's weird to think that, like, I was more hung up on the things that were okay with being said to her. Diane Sawyer interview, the late night jokes, like the things that we've just listened to and we're like, huh, okay, that's, you know, whatever. Like, no one thought, oh, this is weird that these adults are asking this girl that's 21 if she's a virgin or not. Like, and no one was, you know, like, this was perfectly okay. Like, nothing was... The only thing that I didn't like was the free Britney people. Like, they really took all
careful,
the...
Careful. You guys are online a lot.
I know.
On.
I'm just saying, like...
getting harassed.
No, it was... I'm on her side. It was just they took the credibility of the documentary. Like, you'd be in it, and I'm with them. I'm listening, and I'm like, man, this is fucked up, whatever. And then let's cut to these free Britney people that are screaming. Like, I'm like, why aren't y'all at work? Or like, do you know, like, I was more concerned about kind of throwing her like really, really passionate fan base, if you will, into this very real situation that was happening to her. And so it kind of took away from her. That's my honest opinion. I think everyone should watch it. I thought it was good, but.
Don't you kind of want to go to one of the? Oh, sorry, Danny. Sorry.
No, where is it? Is this new? Is this
new? It's on Hulu. It's like a New York Times.
I believe the New York Times' first docu series. So first, like, you know, everybody's getting in the documentary game, and you had the king of all documentarians on your show, Keith Morrison. The king.
Oh my God.
My love. My.
I have to tell you something. My wife and I love a good crime series. Of course, we're huge Dateline fans. We believe we've watched every episode of Dateline. We believe, because we record them all, the ones on OWN, NBC, the one we have a queue of about 30 in. We watch them all. That said, we'll watch, like, you know, like The Keepers on Netflix, like what's another one?
The Staircase was my favorite.
The Staircase, Murder on Middle Beach, all those ones. We'll watch all of them. honestly, we get through all of them and we say to ourselves, Dateline does it better. Dateline does it the best.
That's amazing. Oh, now, you have to send this to Keith.
Oh, I will.
With the best. So the way they unfold the story, there's always some sort of twist. I mean, I got to tell you, some of those murder ones, I don't want to call them out because sometimes it deals with people who are like I don't want to talk about people who are like,
yeah,
murder, all that stuff. It's terrible. But when there's not an answer to these documentary, when it just is like, well, we don't know. Actually, yeah, it could have been anyone. And you've invested hours in this thing.
Yeah. And you left us fucking hanging.
It makes me really upset. But I don't want to say anything that rude because it is based on like actual events, but like, oh, you need
I need an ending. I made the mistake of suggesting to my mom to watch the new Unsolved Mysteries, and her feedback was like, well, I'd like to get an answer. And I was like, you know what the show's called? It's called Unsolved Mysteries. What did think was gonna fucking happen? Like, I was like,
Mr. Yeah. Z, on your recommendation, my wife and I watched The Lady and the Dale last week.
Oh, what'd you think?
You know what? I gotta tell you, it was really interesting watching a film about a trans person in the 70s that I had never heard of.
Yeah.
Same here. That's exactly how I feel.
I just started it. It's fascinating.
It was really interesting. And you know what? I actually I felt obviously very sad for her because if she was around today, things would have been she would have been treated very differently. And you
completely.
Know, I was actually very proud of society, like how we've obviously there's a lot further we can go, but how far we've come from the lady in the Dale. It was I felt an immense sense of pride to be a part of this movement.
I agree with you completely, and I also like that it also didn't make her a hero. Like, she is a grifter, but it was like the complication of why that story became, it kind of goes to what you were saying, Jenny, about the late night hosts and the jokes. Yeah. I watched on your recommendation, I just finished it last night, the Tiger Woods documentary.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That is
really good.
I loved it. I started out as a late night, I'm like a late night joke writer, and I did a lot of that stuff. And I've really examined, like, wow, we really are attacking people in like a major, like actual human.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I was in my 20s, I wasn't quite as aware of
your audio's taking a dump, I think.
Hold it. Is that my kid?
Seen, but not human beings. And I didn't think about his. What a fascinating documentary.
I gotta watch it.
Yeah, and Jerry, you haven't seen it. It's a two-parter on HBO, and the second part. I mean, the teaser to the first one is right at the very end before the credits roll. That Rachel Yucatel, the first mistress, sits down in a chair and goes, "Okay, what do you want me to say?" And then credits roll. You're like, I gotta wait a whole fucking week.
And so now you get to watch it all in one shot.
Yeah. Right. And it's like you have this empathy for him, like to an extent, you know, like you're Tiger Woods, you're a grown up, you should know better. But then you see how he was raised, you see the things that his dad was a fucking piece of work, man.
Yeah, the whole thing is just, it's a really fascinating character study. So that was the one thing I've watched. Jenny, before we go, what have you watched?
Well, first off, that last episode of WandaVision, have you seen that?
Oh my God, yep.
Jerry,
very into it.
You know, I have not watched it yet. I just got the Disney Plus So I'll start to get through it a little bit. You know what? I can't believe I'm saying this. I like to wait till all the episodes are there so I can bang it out.
Because we're so spoiled right now. Like the fact that it was being dropped one episode at a time, I was like, why are they doing this to me? I should be able to plow through whatever I want to. I should never have to watch a commercial or wait. Heaven forbid. The WandaVision's been my favorite thing that I've seen so far.
Oh, you know what I thought was pretty funny? When Keith Morrison was on, when he was suggesting to you, Jenny, that you date prisoners.
That was
right.
Amazing.
He's 100% fucking right, too.
I've been telling her this.
There is that reality show that it didn't really hold my attention that much, but it's Love After Lockup. So it's people who love each other in prison.
No, I always have a joke about like people that the women that write love letters to serial killers. You know, like that happens, and you think like their vote counts just as much.
Psychos, man.
Everyone else's like
psychos, you know. Crazy.
The Keith Morrison. I still can't believe that Keith agreed to do the podcast. I can't believe he did, Jerry. But Keith being on was so funny because he was so shy.
Jenny, you were the first person that I knew that really had like a public that really announced their love publicly for Keith Morrison. I mean, you follow that Keith leaning on things? Instagram feed?
Yeah, people tag me in that shit all the time. Like, it has been the longest running joke. And, like, I'm friends with some of the people that are producers at Dateline that have, like, so everyone had to, when I started, you know, really pretending that we were in love. And one of my friends that's a producer goes, yeah, we had to tell him that was a joke. Cause he was like, who's this woman? I think she's from Texas. And she's really saying explicit things. And they're like, no, it's a joke. Just play along. And the moment he started playing along, I was like, this is so funny.
Yeah, for somebody who's been like...
such a good sport.
Yeah, for someone who's seen like the worst in humanity, he was shockingly square. And I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, because we had Josh Mankiewicz on, and he's a friend to the podcast. And Mankiewicz is like, sit down right here. I'll tell you,
Mankiewicz, Mankiewicz is the life of the party. And Keith Morrison is just sort of the quiet guy who you feel might be plotting against you.
Yeah. God. No, he's...
And that Bill Hader imitation is... It gets me every time.
I can watch those same clips over. I can watch them and it'll still make me laugh. But it's like, we found him in the trunk. Was he all right?
So you saw your father shot in the face. That must have been wild.
Was he all right? Oh, did you ever see Bill Hader? If you haven't seen it, by the way, we could attach Bill Hader doing the impression. He was on Jimmy Kimmel and he did every person that was on Dateline.
Mankiewicz,
And Mankiewicz was, you know, he's a friend. When they did, he did Mankiewicz, Mankiewicz was the one who texted me the link and he goes, you've got to watch this. This is the highlight of my career. And then it's like most people, when they see a dead body, they call 911. But you didn't do that, did you?
But you didn't do that.
Jenny,
Josh was like, do I really say it that much? I'm like, maybe.
Hey, guys. Okay. Listen, before I go, can I get some sort of discount code to Blue Chews?
Yes.
Yeah, Blue Chew. Yeah.
Yes.
For a friend. I don't need those. I mean, guy, I don't need that.
I believe our discount code is still, I believe it's still Danny.
Yeah. Not because Danny asked for it to be Danny. It just,
no, that's
they
not
knew.
True.
I think they just knew.
But I'm still waiting for my, I'm still waiting for my free Blue Chews. I definitely could have used them on this trip. You know, what can I say? You know, occasionally a man gets a little bit older. Sometimes it takes a little more work. That's all I'm going to say.
This is so perfect. Next time I hit some of those Blue Chews, I'm going to be thinking of that promo code. Damn.
Yeah.
Just spell it. Say it slowly.
My dad never thought I'd amount to anything. And now on the bonus code, I'm boner pills. How do you like that? I did.
I'm sad my dad's not around to see that his daughter is slanging boner pills on the fucking internet.
Jerry, you are a delight. I love talking to you. I think the last time I saw you might have been at Jesse's wedding.
Yeah.
Is it possible that's the last time I saw you? But anyway, that was a delightful soiree, and you're one of the good ones for sure.
You guys do the real work. It was a crazy. I mean, things are getting better now, hopefully, but like the last 4 years, 5 years have been crazy, and really, you guys have really helped. Just through your social media, have helped us all get through it. I'm a huge fan.
Well, that just made me feel really good. Danny?
Love you guys. Peace out. I'm going to go watch another season of The Crown tonight.
All right. Thank you for being with Gary O'Connell, everybody. Yeah.